A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel's been deep in the 3MVHB rabbit hole, and he's come back with questions that are way more specific than, does this stuff work? He's a long-term renter, so drilling holes isn't an option, and he found VHB like a lot of people do, as this secret world of industrial-grade bonding that lets you mount things permanently without touching a drill. But then he went further. He discovered there isn't just one VHB tape. There's a whole catalog. Plot numbers people memorize and argue about online. He's noticed the counterfeit problem firsthand, bought some from AliExpress, compared it to real 3M from Amazon, and the difference was stark. So his question is about matching specific tapes to specific environmental nightmares. Automotive vibration, where failure could be serious. Jerusalem-level UV, which is some of the most intense on the planet. UV index 10 to 12 in summer. Freezing cycles. And the desert combo, scorching days, freezing nights, relentless sun. He wants part numbers, specific specs, and the tape that can actually survive where he lives.
So we're going into the catalog, and we aren't coming back until we have answers. And honestly, this is the right way to ask about VHB. Most people stop at, does it stick? And the real question is, does it stick for 5 years on a black car in the Negev? That's a completely different problem.
The Negev car is the benchmark. If it can hold a trim piece on a vehicle parked outdoors in the desert for 5 summers, it can handle anything Daniel throws at it.
Let's start with what VHB actually is, because it's not double-sided tape, it's not even in the same category. VHB stands for Very High Bond, and it's a family of acrylic foam tapes. The foam is the secret. It's a closed-cell acrylic foam, the entire thickness, which can be anywhere from 15 mils to 62 mils depending on the variant, is itself the adhesive. There's no carrier film, no separate adhesive layer. The whole thing is a viscoelastic solid.
Viscoelastic meaning it behaves like a viscous liquid under slow load and an elastic solid under fast load.
So when you press it against a surface, it flows into the microscopic imperfections, the scratches, the texture, and then once it's bonded, it resists peel and shear like a solid. And because it's foam, it can dissipate stress through the entire bond line. A rigid epoxy bond concentrates stress at the edges and cracks propagate from there. VHB spreads the load across the entire contact area. The shear strength on some of these tapes exceeds 100 psi. That's not sticky tape territory, that's structural.
100 psi means a 1 square inch patch can hold 100 pounds in shear before it slides off. That's a lot of faith in a strip of foam.
And that's why people develop emotional attachments to specific part numbers. You use 5952 to mount a spoiler on your car. It holds for 5 years through heat and rain and car washes, and suddenly you're the guy who tells everyone, you have to use 5952, nothing else works. It becomes a loyalty thing. The tape earns it.
The mental part number list. Daniel nailed that. People carry these around like they're remembering which ammunition their rifle likes.
The scale of the catalog is genuinely surprising if you've only ever bought tape at a hardware store. 3M organizes VHB into families. You've got the RP family, that's general purpose, red polyethylene liner. The GPH family, gray foam, high temperature, UV stabilized. The LSE family, low surface energy, for bonding to difficult plastics like polypropylene and polyethylene. And then the numbered families, 4950, 4952, 5952, which are black foam, high shear, used heavily in automotive and industrial bonding. Within each family, there are multiple thicknesses and adhesive formulations. The RP family alone has RP16, RP25, RP32, RP45, RP62. Each number is the thickness in mils. So you're choosing not just the chemistry, but the exact foam thickness for your gap-filling needs.
It's like choosing a motor oil. The viscosity, the additive package, the temperature range. And if you grab the wrong one off the shelf, you might not know for 6 months, but you'll find out.
And the wrong one will fail. That's the thing. VHB doesn't usually fail immediately. It fails slowly, creep, edge lifting, yellowing. Then one day you walk out and your trim piece is hanging off. The tape looked fine for a year, and then it wasn't.
Alright, before we get into which tape for which environment, we have to talk about the counterfeit problem. Daniel's seen it firsthand, and he's not wrong to be concerned.
This is a real issue, especially with VHB becoming popular in the DIY and car communities. Counterfeit VHB is everywhere on AliExpress, and it's increasingly common on Amazon too, because of commingled inventory. You can buy from a listing that says 3M VHB 5952, and what arrives in the box might have come from a bin where a third-party seller dumped fake rolls.
Commingled inventory is the thing where Amazon mixes stock from different sellers who list the same product, so you can't trace which roll came from whom.
Right, and counterfeiters know this. They send in rolls that look convincing. Red liner, similar packaging. But the tape itself isn't acrylic foam. It's usually a cheap polyethylene foam with a thin layer of adhesive on each side. It looks like VHB. It feels kind of similar, but it doesn't have the viscoelastic properties that make VHB work. The foam doesn't dissipate stress, the adhesive is weaker, and it fails under sustained load.
Daniel said the real stuff from Amazon was significantly better than the AliExpress roll. That tracks.
There are a few ways to spot real VHB. The most reliable is the liner. Real 3M VHB has 3M printed repeatedly across the red polyethylene liner. It's not subtle, it's branding you can see. The part number is printed on the edge of the roll. When you pinch the tape, real VHB compresses slowly and rebounds slowly. It feels dense, almost like a gel. Counterfeit foam is usually springier, more like a kitchen sponge. Real VHB also has a date code printed on the liner because it has a shelf life, 5 years from the manufacture date stored properly. After that, the adhesive can degrade even if the roll was never opened.
5 years. So if you find a roll in a drawer and you can't remember when you bought it, the date code tells you whether it's still good.
And counterfeit rolls rarely have a real date code. Sometimes they print something that looks like one, but it won't match 3M's format. The other thing is the foam structure. If you cut real VHB and look at the cross-section under magnification, it's a uniform closed-cell foam. Tiny, consistent bubbles. Counterfeit often has an open cell or a regular bubbly structure. You can sometimes see the difference just by cutting it and looking at the edge.
So the counterfeit is basically a costume. It's dressed up as VHB, but underneath it's just foam with some glue on it.
And it's dangerous in applications where failure matters. If you're mounting a GoPro to a motorcycle with fake VHB, you're going to lose the camera. If you're mounting trim on a car, you might lose the trim on the highway. It's not good enough. The chemistry is completely different.
Which brings us to the automotive question. Daniel's first specific application, vibration resistance, automotive use, where failure is serious but hopefully not catastrophic because nobody's using this as the only fastener on a brake caliper.
And they shouldn't be. The 3M design guide is very clear about this. VHB isn't a replacement for mechanical fasteners on safety critical joints. It's for trim, emblems, spoilers, cladding, side moldings. Things where if the bond fails, you have an expensive and annoying problem, not a life-threatening one.
Right. Annoying and expensive, not fatal. That's the boundary.
For automotive, the key spec is dynamic shear strength and vibration damping. A car is a vibration machine, engine, road, wind, thermal expansion, and contraction. A rigid adhesive will eventually crack or delaminate because it can't absorb that energy. VHB works because the viscoelastic foam core converts vibrational energy into heat. Tiny amounts, but enough to prevent stress accumulation at the bond line.
It's a shock absorber at the molecular level.
That's exactly what it is. The RP family is the go-to for a lot of automotive exterior trim. RP16 through RP62, the thicker tapes give you more gap filling and more vibration absorption, which is why RP45 and RP62 are common for things like side moldings and emblems where the surfaces might not be perfectly flat. The continuous service temperature for the RP family is minus 40 Fahrenheit to 200 Fahrenheit. That's minus 40 Celsius to 93 Celsius, with short-term peaks up to 250 Fahrenheit, about 121 Celsius.
250 Fahrenheit short term. That covers a car parked in the sun in summer, but not engine bay temperatures.
Not engine bay. For that, you'd need something else entirely, silicone-based adhesives or mechanical fasteners. But for exterior trim, RP covers the range. The one I'd actually recommend for automotive, though, is the 5952 family. That's the black foam. It has higher shear strength, exceeding 100 PSI, and better temperature resistance, continuous service up to 250 Fahrenheit. It's the standard for aftermarket spoilers, body kits, and trim pieces where you need the bond to survive not just heat, but also the aerodynamic loads at highway speeds.
So 5952 is the one the car guys memorize. That's the part number they carry in their heads.
It is. And there's a reason. It's forgiving of surface prep, not as forgiving as some, we'll get to that, but it's the one that just works across the widest range of automotive conditions. The black foam also looks better if any edge is visible, which matters for trim applications.
And for vibration specifically, the foam thickness matters. A thicker tape absorbs more vibrational energy.
Yes. The design guide recommends that for dynamic loads, you want a minimum of 20 mils of foam thickness. RP25 or 5952 in the 20mm thickness gives you enough viscoelastic material to actually damp the vibration rather than transmit it to the adhesive interface. Too thin and the tape can't do its job as a damper.
So, for automotive, the short answer is 5952 for most things, RP family if you need a specific thickness or you're working with a budget. And always, always, buy from an authorized distributor so you're not getting counterfeit foam that'll fail at the first heat wave.
And surface prep. Isopropyl alcohol, lint-free cloth, clean until the cloth comes back clean. If you can see dirt on the cloth, you're not done. The bond is only as good as the surface it's sticking to.
All right, that's automotive. Now the really nasty stuff. UV, freezing, and the desert.
UV is where most people get tripped up. Because they see weather-resistant on a spec sheet and assume that means UV-resistant. It doesn't. Weather-resistance covers rain, humidity, salt spray, temperature cycling. UV-resistance is a specific chemical property. The adhesive and the foam have to be formulated with UV stabilizers and absorbers. Otherwise, the polymer chains break down under ultraviolet radiation.
And Jerusalem has some of the highest UV indexes in the world. Daniel mentioned 10 to 12 in summer. For context, Cork, Ireland, where he's from, might hit 6 or 7 on a really bright day. Jerusalem is in a different league.
The UV index is logarithmic, too. A UV index of 12 isn't twice as intense as 6. It's significantly more damaging. The RP family isn't UV stable. The 3M design guide explicitly notes that RP tapes will yellow and lose bond strength in direct sunlight. If Daniel used RP tape for an outdoor application in Jerusalem, he'd get maybe a year before the edges started lifting and the foam turned brittle and yellow.
A year, if he's lucky. Summer UV in Jerusalem destroys plastics that aren't treated. I've seen it. Things that last a decade in Northern Europe crumble in 2 years here.
The family designed for this is GPH. That's the gray foam family. GPH111, GF, GPH11111, GPH611, GPH2005GF. The GF stands for gray foam, and the number is the thickness in mils. These tapes use a UV-stabilized acrylic foam that's specifically engineered for outdoor exposure. The 3M design guide rates them for 5-plus years of outdoor exposure in Florida and Arizona testing, and those aren't mild environments. Florida has the humidity and salt. Arizona has the UV and heat. GPH tapes pass 10,000 hours of QUV accelerated weathering, that's UV plus condensation cycles, with less than 25% loss of adhesion.
10,000 hours. That's over a year of continuous accelerated testing.
And it simulates years of real-world exposure. For Jerusalem, the sweet spot is GPH1060GF. The 160mm thickness gives you good gap filling and stress distribution, and the gray foam is UV stable enough to handle the summer UV index without breaking down. GPH1000GF would work too, but for exterior mounting where the surfaces might not be perfectly flat, the thicker tape is safer.
So GPH160GF is the Jerusalem tape. That's the one Daniel should be looking for.
For UV, yes. But UV is only one of his environmental challenges. Freezing is the next one.
Freezing is interesting because it's not just about the minimum temperature. It's about the cycling. Freeze, thaw, freeze, thaw. That's what kills bonds because water gets in the micro gaps, freezes and expands, and mechanically works the adhesive loose over time.
The freeze-thaw cycle is brutal. and some tapes that handle cold just fine in a static test will fail after a few dozen cycles, because the thermal expansion coefficients of the tape, the substrate, and whatever you're mounting are all different. Every cycle is a tiny shear event at the bond line.
So you need a tape that can flex with that movement without delaminating.
The LSE family, LSE1WF, LSE15WF, LSE300WF, LSE30WF, is engineered for bonding to low surface energy plastics, but it also has excellent low temperature performance. The design guide shows LSE tapes maintaining 80% of their room temperature shear strength at minus 20 Fahrenheit, that's minus 29 Celsius, so even in deep cold they're still holding most of their strength. The 5952 family also performs well in freezing, service temperature down to minus 40 Fahrenheit, minus 40 Celsius.
Minus 40 is where Fahrenheit and Celsius meet. That's a nice round number for really cold.
But the real champion for freeze-thaw cycling is actually the GPH family again. GPH is designed for thermal cycling without delamination. The gray foam formulation handles the expansion and contraction better than the black foam or the RP family. If you're mounting something outdoors in a climate that reliably freezes every winter, say, an address plaque or a light fixture, GPH-160GF is going to survive more cycles than 5952.
So GPH is pulling double duty. UV and freeze. Thaw.
It's the outdoor workhorse. And that brings us to the desert combo, the toughest spec Daniel asked about. Scorching days, freezing nights, relentless UV. This is Death Valley, the Sahara, the Arizona desert. Daytime surface temperatures can hit 150 Fahrenheit or more on dark surfaces, and then drop below freezing at night. The thermal swing alone can be 80 or 90 degrees in 12 hours.
That's a torture test for any adhesive. You're asking it to be flexible enough to handle massive expansion and contraction, strong enough to hold under heat that would soften most polymers, and UV stable enough to not degrade under constant sun.
The answer is GPH-25GF. This is the thickest of the GPH family, 205 mils, which is over 5 millimeters, and it has the widest temperature range. Continuous service from minus 40 Fahrenheit to 300 Fahrenheit, minus 40 Celsius to 149 Celsius. That covers the hottest desert surface temperatures with margin to spare. It's UV stabilized, it handles thermal cycling, and the thickness gives it exceptional gap filling and stress distribution.
300 Fahrenheit continuous. That's above the boiling point of water. On a black surface in the Sahara in July, you might see 170, maybe 180. This tape has headroom.
GPH-2005GF is what the solar industry uses for frame bonding on panels that are going to be installed in desert solar farms. It's what architects specify for exterior cladding on buildings in the Middle East and the American Southwest. It's overkill for most applications, but when you need the bond to survive a decade of desert exposure, overkill is the point.
For Daniel in Jerusalem, GPH-160GF is probably sufficient. Jerusalem gets cold, but not Sahara cold at night, and the UV is intense, but the thermal swing isn't as extreme as a true desert. GPH-2005GF would be the belt and suspenders choice. It'll work. It'll just cost more and be thicker than he needs.
And thickness matters for aesthetics. A 5mm tape creates a visible gap between the mounted object and the wall. For something like a house number or a small sign, that gap might be noticeable. GPH-160GF at 4mm is a bit more discreet. But if it's a functional mount where appearance doesn't matter, or if the surfaces are uneven, the thicker tape is better.
The tape selection guide for Daniel, Automotive Vibration, 5952. Jerusalem UV, GPH-160GF. Freezing conditions, GPH-160GF again, or 5952 if UV isn't a factor. Desert combo, GPH-25GF. And always, always verify you're getting real 3M product. Redliner with 3M branding, part number on the roll edge, date code, dense foam that rebounds slowly when you pinch it.
That's the theory. Those are the specs. But I have a feeling someone in this room has actually handled these rolls for a living. Go on.
You're all talking about GPH and LSE and RP, and that's fine for civilians. But the real tape, the one that made 3M's bones in this space, is 4952. It's the workhorse. It's not the fanciest, it doesn't have the highest temperature rating, but it's the one that every automotive engineer I ever shipped to specified by default. I spent a summer in a 3M distribution warehouse in Minnesota, late 90s. My entire job was picking and packing BHB rolls for automotive OEM orders. Ford, GM, the Tier 1 suppliers. And the part number that came up on the pick list more than any other was 4952. Black foam, 45 mils.
What made it the default?
It's the most forgiving of surface prep errors. You can wipe the surface with isopropyl, miss a spot, and 4952 will still hold for years. The GPH stuff, and I like GPH, I'm not knocking it, but GPH is brittle if you don't get the surface absolutely perfect. The design guide says it right there, thorough surface cleaning with isopropyl alcohol and a lint-free cloth. Thorough. If you're a DIY guy in a garage with a rag that's been in your pocket for 3 days, you're not getting a GPH bond to full strength. 4952 doesn't care as much. It's more tolerant of a less than perfect surface.
That's a genuine insight. The best tape on paper might be worse in practice if the user can't achieve the surface cleanliness the tape demands.
I'm not saying don't clean the surface. Clean the surface. But if you miss a fingerprint or there's a little residue from an old sticker, 4952 will still grab. GPH needs the surface to be immaculate. I've seen it. I handled thousands of rolls of both.
The spec sheet tells you what the tape can do under ideal conditions. Your experience tells you what it does under real conditions.
Real conditions are never ideal. The engineer specifies GPH 25GF because the numbers look great, and they're great, but the guy installing it on a Friday afternoon when it's 90 degrees and he's been on his feet for 8 hours, he's not doing the surface prep the way the lab did it. 4952 gives you margin for human error. That's why it's the workhorse.
That margin matters especially for the renter and DIY use case Daniel's coming from. He's not in a clean room. He's in an apartment with whatever cleaning supplies he has under the sink.
The 4952 is the one I'd give him. It's not UV stabilized, so for outdoor in Jerusalem, he still wants the GPH. But for everything else, indoor mounting, automotive, anything where UV isn't the primary threat, 4952 is the one that won't let you down because you didn't scrub hard enough.
This spec hierarchy gets a practical override. GPH 205GF wins on paper. 4952 wins in the garage.
I still have a roll of it. The date code says it expired in 2002. I used some of it last year to mount a coat rack. It's still up.
24-year-old tape.
24 years past the manufacture date. Still holding. The shelf life is 5 years, but that's for guaranteed full strength. After that, it degrades slowly. If you store it somewhere cool and dry, it'll work long past the date. I wouldn't use it on a car, but for a coat rack, it's fine.
That's the kind of real-world data you don't get from the design guide.
The design guide is written by people who have to guarantee performance. I just have to guarantee my coat rack doesn't fall.
The surface prep point is interesting because it reframes the whole selection problem. If you're a professional installer with a controlled process, you spec the tape that gives you the highest performance under ideal conditions. If you're a DIY user, you might want the tape that's hardest to mess up, even if its peak performance is lower.
It's the difference between a race car and a daily driver. The race car is faster on paper. The daily driver starts every morning.
The daily driver also doesn't need a team of mechanics to keep it running. Same thing.
This connects to something Daniel mentioned in passing. The counterfeit problem is only going to get worse. As VHB gets more popular among DIYers, the incentive to counterfeit goes up. And the counterfeiters don't care about surface prep forgiveness or UV stabilization. They're selling foam with glue on it.
How do you trust your supply chain when even Amazon has fix? The commingled inventory problem means you can do everything right. Buy from a listing with good reviews, pay the premium price, and still get a counterfeit roll because it came from the wrong bin.
The 3M design guide recommendation is to buy from authorized distributors. 3M maintains a list. It's not as convenient as clicking buy now on Amazon, but it's the only way to be certain. Authorized distributors get their stock directly from 3M, it's tracked by lot number, and there's no commingling with third-party inventory.
The date code and the liner branding are your verification. If you open the box and the red liner doesn't have 3M printed on it, send it back.
The other thing that's coming, 3M is developing new VHB variants. The GPH family was introduced around 2015, and it was a big step forward in UV stability and temperature range. The next generation is likely to push continuous service to 350 Fahrenheit, which would open up engine bay applications that currently require mechanical fasteners or silicone adhesives.
The electric vehicle transition is driving some of this too. Battery pack bonding needs tapes that can handle thermal management, conducting heat away from cells while also damping vibration and providing structural integrity. It's a completely different set of requirements from mounting a spoiler.
The tape has to survive the life of the vehicle, 10, 15 years. The testing cycles for automotive-grade VHB are already intense, but EV battery bonding is a whole other level. You're talking about continuous exposure to thermal cycling, potential chemical exposure if there's a leak, and zero tolerance for failure.
The weirdest thing about VHB, when you step back, is that it's a product designed to be invisible. You only notice it when it fails. Nobody looks at a mounted sign or a car emblem and thinks about the tape behind it. It's infrastructure at the smallest scale, a millimeter of foam doing a job you'll never see for years without anyone knowing it's there.
Yet people develop emotional attachments to specific part numbers. They argue about 4952 versus 5952 online. They carry mental lists of the tapes they trust. That says something about how much we value things that just work quietly for years.
It's the opposite of planned obsolescence. It's a product whose entire value proposition is that you forget you bought it.
Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop, for the warehouse floor perspective and the 24-year-old coat rack.
This has been My Weird Prompts. You can find us at myweirdprompts.com or email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com.
We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth's slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep, the stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close, from sloth, from man, from long ear host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.